إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. So we're continuing our lesson of Thalathatul Usul, or the three foundational principles of Islam. And this is the 5th of Rajab, 1436, after the Hijra of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that which corresponds with 24th of April, 2015, Miladi. And of course, these lessons are held in Masjid al-Farisi in Dawlatul Kuwait, in the land of Kuwait. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve their rulers upon goodness and khair. So, before we continue, then we'll briefly ask the brothers present if they recall what we had covered in great depth, and that was, how do we rectify ourselves and our communities? Because innovated Islamic political groups and parties, they try and come out with many systems, many types of innovation, which were not previously there, which were not there, which were not brought from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the companions, and what they were not upon. So, if one truly wants to rectify themselves, to ensure that they are upright, and then that their community is upright, what do they need to do? Brothers, what's the first step? What's the first issue that it's obligatory for you to know? Good. Ilm, knowledge. Knowledge of what?
Knowledge of Allah, knowledge of Prophet knowledge of deen with its
good. Perfect. That we must have the correct knowledge of Allah, of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the correct knowledge of the religion of Islam with its proofs. And then once we have that correct knowledge, what do we need to do? Good, Brother Yusuf. We need to apply it. We need to act upon it. Al-'amalu bihi, as the Imam said. We need to act upon that correct knowledge. And then once we know how to act upon that knowledge correctly and we're acting upon it, then what do we do? Good. Share it to other people, which is ad-dawah ilay, that we call to it. We call to it. And the caller to the knowledge and acting upon it in the correct way, then they will always face difficulties. It will not be something easy. So what is required next? A sabr, right? Patience upon it. Patience upon dealing with the hardships that come with this dawah, with this calling to the correct religion and the correct knowledge which was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these indeed are those correct steps which we must follow. And I know the brothers, they are already memorizing Usul al-Sunnah of Imam Ahmad, and I advise you to continue on that and be patient upon that and strive to complete that inshallah to the best of your abilities. This book likewise, if it might be difficult upon some of you to memorize the whole thing, but if you can start with and focus on memorizing at least these main points such as the beginning, then it would be highly beneficial inshallah, because it refutes so many of the doubts present in these times. You know, if you look at the way of the Jama'at Tabligh, for example, that somebody without any knowledge and without acting upon any knowledge, they'll immediately push them to the forward and tell them, go make khuruj, go do da'wah for 40 days. This person, he doesn't know about Allah or His Messenger or the religion of Islam with his, or the religion of Islam with its proofs yet. So how could it ever be expected for him to bring about good in his da'wah? Just as an example. So continuing on, and we mentioned after the proof, which the Imam mentioned, Surah Al-Asr, and we mentioned, as the Imam put in his book after the statement of Imam al-Shafi, that this surah is sufficient as a proof upon the creation. The statement of Imam al-Bukhari, in which he stated the chapter head, Bab al-Ilm qabla al-Qawli wal-Amal, the chapter of knowledge preceding speech and action. And that the proof was, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ, and know that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and seek forgiveness of your sins. فَبَدَأَ بِالْعِلْمِ قَبْلَ الْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمْلِ. So Allah began by mentioning knowledge before the statement in action. Before the statement in action. So that knowledge is, of course, knowing that there's, knowing the Tawheed of Allah, knowing that there's none worthy of worship except Allah alone. And then after that, you may seek forgiveness from Allah due to your sins upon the correct way. And before continuing, then I'll just mention a brief, beautiful benefit that was mentioned and reminded by our Sheikh Ahmed al-Subay, Hafidhullah. It doesn't directly relate to the text of the book, but a benefit that he brought out is how Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, these two scholars that he decided to quote from, Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, and then Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, both of them were yatim. Both of them were orphans. Both of them were orphans. And as the correct understanding of an orphan in within the religion of Islam, then an orphan is one whose father has died before they have reached bulugh, before they have matured, their father has died. So both Imam al-Shafi'i and Imam al-Bukhari were orphans. And intellectually, or based on our intellect, or what you would assume or expect, that if somebody faces that type of trial and that type of difficulty in their early life, then that would hinder them, that would hold them back from many opportunities or many types of success or doing great things. But in these imams, then we see, from Allah's greatness, that He raises those whom He wills, that He raises those whom He wills upon obedience to Him and upon aiding the religion, despite any type of difficulties that they may face. Despite any type of difficulties they may face. So Imam al-Shafi, Imam al-Bukhari, likewise Imam Ahmad, and other than them, that great difficulty that they faced in their early life did not prevent them from aiding the religion, aiding the Sharia of Allah, and spreading it. So that should be an encouragement to us. Those amongst us who do not have those type of trials and those type of difficulties that those great a'imma, those imams faced, then likewise we should aspire to aid the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of our ability in accordance with the Sharia, and not in accordance to any type of desires or innovation or other than that. So continuing, the Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he said, اعلم رحمك الله أنه يجب على كل مسلم ومسلمة تعلم هذه الثلاث مسائل والعمل بهن. He said, know, rahimak Allah, know, may Allah have mercy upon you. And this should sound very familiar to the brothers, because this is the same type of introduction that he mentioned before the previous points. So, just to recap, the statement i'lam, this is a fi'l amr, this is an order. So he's saying, you must know these matters. And this is an order. You must know this. And he's saying i'lam to draw a great attention to its importance. His statement, rahimakallah, may Allah have mercy upon you. Again, this is from the husn uslub al-mu'allim. This is from the good manners and good characteristics of the teacher, that he speaks to those who are seeking knowledge in a good way, and in a kind way, and in a way which should encourage them to accept the da'wah from him. And likewise, his supplication for them, this shows that he wants good for them. It shows that he wants good for them, and that he hopes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy upon them. And as a side benefit, then, as it relates to the manners of the mu'allim, the manners of the teacher, is that he should always hope for the best for his students. And this is something that our Shaykh Muhammad Al-Anjari, hafidhahullah, that he points out and reminds us with, is that one should hope that his students turn out better than him. That is when he has truly been successful. It's not that the teacher always wants to be the most knowledgeable person in the room, that the teacher always wants to have some type of status or respect over the others, but rather from the goals of the teacher that is sincere, is that they strive to raise the level of those students, that those students one day might become better than that teacher themselves. So the Imam continued, أَنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمًا وَمُسْلِمَةٍ تَعَلِّمُ هَذِهِ الثَّلَاثِ مَسَائِلِ وَالْعَمَلُ بِهِنْ, that it is obligatory upon every Muslim وَمُسْلِمَة, so every male Muslim and female Muslim, to learn these three issues and act upon them. That it's obligatory for upon each and every one of us, every Muslim and Muslimah, to learn these three issues and act upon it. And again, the Imam is saying, yajib alayn, yajib. He's saying it's wajib. He's saying it's obligatory. So this is not something, or these issues are not something which are from the angle of being mustahab, being recommended, or being something that we can just do if we have the spare time. But rather indeed, these are from those obligations of every Muslim and Muslimah to act upon and to know based on these proofs which the Imam will mention. And how the Imam says that we must make ta'allum of these three issues. We must learn these three issues. What does learning mean? If one is to learn something, what does it really mean? And Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, he pointed out and mentioned this type of definition per se. He said ta'allum. He said then it is taking directly from the people of knowledge, along with memorizing it and understanding it and completely comprehending it. And it is not only reading it or briefly skimming over it. So when this Imam is saying that it is obligatory upon us that we make ta'allum, that we truly learn these three issues and act upon it, then this includes learning them and taking them correctly from the people of knowledge while we're memorizing them and understanding them and completely comprehending them. And it is not only that you pick up a book and you skim through it, or that you read it in the book, because that is not truly ta'allum. You haven't truly learned it. The Imam wants us to accept these matters into our iman, that they must become part of our aqidah. They must be firmly ingrained in our heart in a firm manner which we do not let go of. Al-Ula, the first. So the first of these points. أَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَنَا وَرَزَقَنَا وَلَمْ يَتْرُكْنَا هَمَلًا بَلْ أَرْسَلَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا فَمَنْ أَطَاعَهُ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَاهُ دَخَلَ النَّارِ. The first is that Allah created us and provided for us, and He did not leave us heedlessly. Rather, indeed, He sent to us a messenger. So whoever obeyed the messenger will enter Jannah, and whoever disobeys the messenger will enter the hellfire. So, in contemplation of this point, and in expanding upon this point, then we will remind ourselves and the brothers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He alone is the one who khalaqana, He created us. And this creation was for a truly noble purpose. As He said, Allah in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. He said, I did not create the jinn or mankind except to worship me alone. وَرَزَقَنَا, and He provided for us. So the provision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us is truly immense. And it is incomprehensible how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established for us and done for us by means of the establishment of the heavens and the earth to suit our needs. So indeed, everything else which Allah has established within the heavens and the earth, from the animals and the plants and the rocks, and that which Allah has created, then it is for the masalih, or the benefits of the mukallafin, of those slaves whom are ordered to worship Allah. Then all of this which Allah has created is from His rizq. All of this is from Allah's provisions, which He has created for our benefit. All of these matters which keep us alive, the rain which He sends from the sky, the plants and the crops which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises out of the soil, all of the animals which Allah has created for us to eat as food or to use as riding beasts, for example. All of these are from the benefits or the masalih, those matters or those things which Allah has created and put here for our benefit, to extend our lives and support our lives, to help us reach our goal. To help us reach our goal, that goal of why we were created. So all of these things which we see around us, that this is for the benefit of the ibad, the benefits of the slaves, so we may strive in actualizing the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. وَلَمْ يَتْرُكْنَا هَمَلًا. So this first point is that Allah created us and has provided for us, but He did not leave us heedlessly. He did not leave us heedlessly. He did not leave us without purpose. And He did not leave us without knowing our purpose. بَلْ أَرْسَلَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا. Indeed, He sent for us a messenger. Indeed, rather, He sent for us a messenger. And indeed, upon reflection, This is from, truly from the ni'amillah al-azimah. This is truly from those tremendous blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, and from His mercy and His lutf, His kindness upon the people of Islam. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Upon the people of Islam, that they have been informed in why they are here. They have been informed of why Allah created them. Because if we look throughout the many umam of the world, all the nations of the world throughout history, then from that which has constantly been contemplated and philosophized about and searched for, is they all want to know, what is their purpose in life? They all want to know, why are we here? And they shake up their minds and they struggle with their intellects to try and comprehend and try and come up with some type of theory. Because if you look at all of the umam, other than the umam of Islam, all of the nations other than Islam, you find them in a state of confusion, in a state of cloudiness, in a state of being lost, that they are constantly mystified and confused. Why are we here? What should we be doing? And they come up with so many theories. And these theories, of course, are based upon their desires. They're based upon their desires. So you find them saying, now I know my true calling. Maybe they've established some type of company, or they've done some type of scientific expedition, or they've built something else, or they've wrote a book, and they say, now I know my purpose in life. As if they found something or come across something of true value. But indeed, from Allah's mercy upon the creation is that He sent to them a messenger. That He sent to them a messenger. And He made it clear through the sending of the messenger, فَمَنْ أَطَاعَهُ دَخْلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَاهُ دَخْلَ النَّارِ. So whoever obeys Him, he enters the Jannah, and whoever disobeys Him enters the hellfire. So indeed, this messenger which Allah sent, the last and final messenger, the Khatam al-Nabiyyin, the seal of the prophets, then this is Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the one that brought this Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his revelation. Through his revelation. So indeed, Allah didn't only create us and provide for us and leave us heedlessly. Rather, He sent this messenger so we may know why we are here. So we may know how to succeed in this life. How to achieve happiness in the hereafter. And how to be safe from the hellfire. So indeed, all of the legislations that we need to know about were completed with the sending of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah said, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam dina. So Allah said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, and this day I have completed for you your religion. No, and this day I've completed upon you my blessing. No, and this day I have completed upon you your religion, and I completed for you my blessing, and I have made pleased for you the religion of Islam. Or I've made pleased for you Islam as a religion. So everything which the slaves need to know, and that when we say the slaves, this of course is mankind and the jinn. And these are both of them, the reason for their creation is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. The reason for their creation is to worship Allah alone, and everything that they need to know in order to achieve that goal and to complete that purpose has been revealed and conveyed from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we know how to worship Allah, and along with the revelation of how to worship Allah, then we've also been ordered with how to understand that revelation of Allah. So indeed the proofs are many in the speech of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise from the orders of the speech of Allah in His Quran, in that we are ordered to follow the correct understanding of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this indeed is from the completeness of our religion. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, informed khayrun nas qarni, that the best of generations is my generation, or the best of people is my generation, then this is a clear sign and order that we must follow these people. If we want to be upon khayriya, if we want to be upon goodness, we must follow that generation. Likewise, the order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, iqtadu billadaini min ba'di Abi Bakr wa Umar, cling to the way of those who came out, those two who came after me, Abu Bakr and Umar. Likewise, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whoever makes shaqqa of the Rasul, whoever splits away and goes against the Messenger and follows a path other than that of the believers. And the believers here are the companions. They were the believers during the revelation of the Quran. So whoever splits away and goes against the Messenger and follows a path other than that of the believers, meaning the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى, then we will leave him to the path which that which he has chosen, and roast him in the hellfire. What a terrible destination. So indeed the proofs are many and unmistakable that we must cling to this correct understanding of the religion of Islam, of the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by following the correct understanding of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is from Allah's completing of the religion, that He ordered us with this just as He ordered us with everything else in the Sharia of Islam. So we will continue next time mentioning the Imam's proof for this and going on to the second issue, which is obligatory upon every Muslim and Muslima to learn. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.